And as women, having to raise kids, watch after a household, you physically cannot do it all. So the people that you think are doing it all, they're not. They're not, first of all, and they're tapping into those resources and those relationships that they've built so that they can make it look like they're doing it.
Hello, fams, and welcome back to another episode of Femininity by Rachel V. I am your host, Rachel V, and I have a special announcement. This is my good girlfriend, Stephanie, and she is now the co-host of Femininity by Rachel V. Welcome, Stephanie.
Thank you. So excited to
be here. A huge drum roll for my girl. So today, ladies, we're going to be talking about how me and Stephanie became friends, how important it is to nurture relationships with your girlfriends, and being supportive and just, you know, what we do for each other.
That's right.
So I'm going to tell you guys who Stephanie is to me. She's a really good friend of mine.
So basically, me and Stephanie met on Instagram. It was so funny how we met. If you at episode, I can't remember what episode this is.
Right.
This was, but we filmed the episode together.
In Baltimore.
In Baltimore. She came really late. I mean, we filmed at like 11 o'clock.
Yes.
The dedication my girlfriend had for me. I just was so...
It was like during a Thanksgiving time, right? Yeah.
During a Thanksgiving time. And I think I was working and I got off later than I said that I would get off. And she was so committed. Like, I was just so happy that we was able to connect and we was able to complete the episode. But that kind of loyalty, you just do not get everywhere. So she will always be my girl.
But what people didn't know was that was actually the first time we met in person.
In person. But we fell in love over Instagram.
Yes.
So crazy to me. Well, it's not crazy to me because I believe in cultivating relationships.
And totally.
That's why I have social media.
100%. 100%. It's your network. It's your network. I mean, there are a lot of ugly things on the internet. We all know that, but you can use it as a tool to your advantage for business, for self-branding, for connections. And look here, it led to best friends and now a podcast.
I know.
So how excited are you to be a part of Femininity?
Well, what is also so wild is that almost a year ago, we were in Miami. I was in New York and came down here for my birthday. And I said to Reach, yeah, I'm going to move. I'm going to figure it out. And lo and behold, less than a year later, it took a stop in between, but we're here. And we always knew that we were going to do something together because we have the same mindset. So we always knew that there would be some business that we could bring together. But yeah, I'm so excited to have moved. And then just like, you are my first step in my community here. Yes. So like, and that just feels so good. People, you know, I did 14 years in New York working in fashion and people are like, how is it feeling? Like thinking that, and I can be a homebody, so nothing, you know, that part isn't affecting me, but I feel very secure and feel very confident in the fact that, like, you're my first line, you know, down here. So I'm like, yeah, the rest of it's going to fall into place. It's not, I'm not scared.
So this is the only thing, me, you have to commit to each other that we don't be homebodies together because
I know.
I am a homebody too.
I know. It's not good.
I stay in a house all day.
I know.
Fine asses.
Yeah, no, it is so, so true. The Instagram memes about girls having two speeds, like, that's the way we are.
Yeah, like, we have all of the aesthetic, yes, all of the fashion, we work out, but nobody ever really sees.
No, it's like, to some degree for the gram.
Yeah. Right. We want to be all in the flat. Say,
yeah.
Go back in the house. Oh, pretty.
Yeah. No. We do need to be social. And that was part of the reason why I wanted to move, because I want to build this next step in my life and kind of make myself a little bit uncomfortable. I did feel at the end of my time in New York that just the way the streets and the safety were, was that I wasn't, like, I was using it as an excuse to not put myself out there.
Right.
And not be, you know, say hello to someone as you walk past them on the street or things like that. And so this now will, you know, new job, new state, new everything except for my hair color, basically. Right? Like, but with that, this is going to really push me to do that, because one of my favorite phrases, God won't move a parked car.
Right.
You got to put the keys in the ignition. You got to turn the car on, mm-hmm. and you have to get things in motion. And so that's on me now.
Yes, it's on you. But you have me.
Yes.
You have me.
That's right.
But I have you.
Yes.
You know, and I've been encouraging her for over a year. Steph, let's get this done.
Steph, yes, totally.
Steph, when are you coming? And, you know, it's really a big deal to move from another state.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really is a big deal, so I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm proud you did it. I love you too. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. We're together.
Yes.
So Stephanie, I want you to tell the fans what you do.
Yeah.
What you're passionate about.
Sure.
You have these organizations that you talk about. I want you to just tell the whole story.
Okay. So I have my hands in a lot of different pots. I worked in fashion in New York for 14 years. So that was what I was doing the last time I was on the podcast. Mm-hmm. And I have recently pivoted to work in beauty aesthetics. I'm lucky enough to be working for a company that I was a client of for 6 years. So it's really easy for me to promote it or talk about the benefits, because I benefited from it for years. So I'm over sales and marketing and customer experience within that company. And one of their locations is down here in Florida. And so that's why I'm here.
Yes.
But alongside of that, I have my own fitness app.
Let's plug the fitness
okay.
app.
Okay, yes. So if you hit my Instagram or my TikTok, you will see the link for my my app. It's through my ARC. It is, the first 2 weeks are free so that you can, like, get going in the app. And then it basically has 8-week programs that I swear by. Like, as long as you are not eating like a complete asshole, you will see results. I had a trainer for years, and I put myself to the test where the last few months before leaving New York, I didn't have a trainer, and I did these workouts and there wasn't a blip on the radar. So I have put these to the test, and these are also workouts that I lost 50 pounds. So these are workouts where I wish I knew how to work out this way sooner, because I would have gotten the results. And they're also, like, business-minded, like, women on the go. I was an executive while I was, you know, actually, when I didn't keep off my weight until my 30s. And so I think that's an important thing to mention, and just that I was juggling work and, you know, keeping up, and was able to, like, that was when I was able to lock in and lose weight. But it took a lot of failure or not working to get there. So I'm pretty proud of, like, the impact that this app can make, because I know that it will work. Nice. So there's that. I'm also a cleft advocate, which was part of why I was on the episode with Reach initially. I kind of blew up on TikTok where I was Well, so I initially joined TikTok with the objective to spread cleft awareness and just make people more aware, because then I figured that would negate or calm down some of the bullying, because some of it is just people unaware, and they don't understand the way in which they ask questions has a negative connotation, and so then you're hurting people's feelings without even meaning to, right? But I quickly realized that the app, that wasn't a topic on the app, and that wasn't going to work. So I used my fitness and my weight loss to kind of dangle the carrot, and then switch the script as soon as I started going viral and plug in cleft awareness. And I was able to build a strong community with that, I've been advocating for a bill on Capitol Hill to Congress and representatives so that babies born with congenital anomalies would get guaranteed coverage, regardless of insurance, for them to get their surgeries for life, meaning to breathe or eat, just general function. It's not guaranteed right now. So yeah, I've got all these different things and I got different goals and we're striving for more and adding more to the list, but I'm really excited about what's ahead.
The fact that you do so many different things, like you're so passionate about so many different areas in your life, it really reminds me of myself, because sometimes I will feel like I'm all over the place. I have
right.
these things that I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to be put in a box. I like this. I like that. I like, you know, almost everything. You're great at fitness. You're great at what you're passionate about being like, you know, a cliff.
Yeah. So being, so let me I'll explain what cleft is again. So I was born with a bilateral cleft lip and cleft palate. And that means that there's just lack of development when the baby is in the womb. You can see it. I think that they check it at the 20-week ultrasound. And it does affect your breathing. It does affect your eating. It's scary for parents initially, for sure. I was in the cancer unit when I was first born, and my parents didn't even tell me that until like months ago, because they just didn't want me to feel like I wasn't, you know, burden.
Right.
But it is a scary journey for parents, and that's part of the reason why I put my platform out there, because I wanted to give a place for people to talk about it, but also for people to meet and just share stories. Because, you know, even in this last year, my sister had a baby, and I just was picturing like how she gets to go to brunch and, you know, talk to her friends about while being pregnant, or like, you know, first newborn things, and relate. And that if a mom or a woman was going to these brunches and saying like, well, I'm not worried about my crib or my wallpaper, I'm worried about if my baby's gonna breathe.
Right.
And so it's just a completely different shift that you're forced into. And also wanted to give hope to those parents that like, you can be normal, you can be successful, you can be beautiful. And so that was another reason for me to put that out there. But to your point about being all over the place, I absolutely am a hot mess and all over the place. And people think I have it all together, but I really, really don't. And I think that people working with me get frustrated, because suddenly I'll get more excited about something and like turn the car the other direction. And I do think that having multiple things that you're passionate about.
Rashay's in the back saying, that's me.
Oh, yeah. I think having things that multiple things that you're passionate about allows you to keep moving. If something isn't like giving it back to you in that moment, or it feels daunting, or it's just like, it feels like you're going through the motion and it doesn't feel as authentic, you just switch gears to the other passion project and you put more time into that. Like, I've definitely seen that with work, my TikTok, my fitness, you know, and cleft advocacy. I've had to switch gears sometimes, and you know, sometimes something's on a roll, and then other times I'm like, this, I don't want to talk about this right now.
Right. And that's, I was just saying this to you, maybe like a month ago, I had took a break from
right.
doing my podcast.
Right.
It might have been from October to
February.
Right.
And that was a pretty long stretch for me. Not saying that I wasn't passionate about it, because I was definitely passionate.
I love doing podcasts.
Yeah.
I love what I created. I love what I'm doing. I love the community. It's just sometimes, and you can attest to this.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you have so much going on, so many things that you're dealing with, we're not always going to be like in this happy space.
No.
You know, we try. But sometimes things just happen and you just got to put it to the side.
100%. And also, if you had continued, it would have been so forced in that time. Yes. And it would have been like meaningless content. Like, you want your audience and your community to walk away with things and feel it. And just also, it's a testament to you to come on and be honest about that. Like, I think that people love to put everything on a highlight reel and rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of also having great women best friends is, like, someone that you can call. Like, you don't want to call
for everything.
You don't want to call everyone for the dirty, but right. you need to have those friends that you can really call, and you know that when you get off the phone, I've said this to you before, when you get off the phone with them, you feel so much better than when you called them.
Yes. And you know what? I called you. When was I upset, crying, talking to you early in the morning? What was that?
Was I even in Florida yet, or was that New York?
You were still in New York.
Yes.
You might have been in, like, July, and I was like, oh my God, Stephanie.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. You was like, Rachel,
listen. Your content looks good.
Yeah.
You're doing what you have to do. Keep pushing.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I think that also we are our worst critics. Mm-hmm. And if you are, like, if you're a successful person, you never reach the bar.
Right.
And so it's always like, what's next? Which also can be exhausting for someone to date.
Girl.
Because we're constantly like, what's next? How am I getting better? How am I doing more? And that it is draining on us, which is where the home body part comes in. But also it's like, sometimes you have to take that beat and look in the mirror and be like, oh, I just did all these things. I journal a lot, and I do that so that I can, like, look back and be like, oh, I did all those things that I wanted to do. Because on a weekly basis, I only see those things that are still left on my to-do list that I haven't done yet. And I feel crappy, but actually in the long run, I'm getting way more things done. You know?
Okay. You know what I've talked about? I don't know if you have been through this. I'm going to say maybe like the last year and a half, I had to clear my space, my friendship space.
Yeah.
And you had to do that, yeah.
Yes. And I had to do that in, like, one of the biggest ways this last year. And it was rough for me. Friendship breakups are harder than, I think, romantic breakups. Because it's just like, I don't know. My family raised us, like, my parents raised us to be, like, treat friends like family. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's the family you choose, right? And so, like we said, don't extend your circle too far. But for those that you really, really let in, mm-hmm. and you tell them the good, bad, and ugly, and if they use that to come against you, it is rough. It is so rough. But yeah, like, there were people also that I didn't think were clouding me. Mm-hmm. Then when I cut them out, I was like, oh gosh.
How did you notice it? Because, you know, like, I'm the type of person, I love you so hard. I love you to my core. And I'll let a couple of things build up. Like, I'm not the type of person that's going to check every single thing.
Oh, it went way too long. Like, I'm not good at that. And also, for as, like, strong of a woman as I am, or the way I show up for people, I don't take care of myself with that enough. Like, I don't set enough boundaries, though. My worst feeling is if I'm mean to someone, if I feel like I was mean to someone, or if I hurt someone's feelings, it's like diabolical for me. So that's the irony, is that I'm very, like, aware. I'm too aware of that. And so I put other people's feelings in front of mine, but I needed to clear the space. Absolutely. And, but I had to, like, clear completely, like, block everything. Like, it's rough.
I actually talked about that on the last podcast. And, like, every year I kind of started doing this maybe within the last 2 years, I would evaluate my friendships, because I'm so into the people that I love.
Yeah.
You know, and I believe in reciprocity. It's the give and take. You know what I mean? Not all the time you can give to me. At that
right,
moment,
right, right.
And that's
right.
fine.
Right.
But if I feel like I'm always reaching out, or I'm always even in the scale, or I'm always doing all of the work, that's not a friendship to me. So when I see things like that, and because you get older, and it's like we have so many things going on, the quality friendship I had with you, the quality friendship I had with my other friends, I measure it from that.
Yeah.
So if it's not that,
yeah,
I just can't do it.
It's funny, because women constantly evaluate and size up that friendship. And men are like, oh, he's my boy since I was in the second grade. And I'm like, that's not an excuse for him to be a bad person now. So I will say that women do better job of taking like recall on their circle. But I think it's because our inner circles can hurt us more. So we have to, which also leads us to like, in general, part of the reason why we were able to become friends and now best friends through Instagram was because we just rooted each other on and we weren't threatened by each other. We were like, if you do great, that's no shot against me. Mm-hmm. And I look at like work or just going out and see that that's so hard for women to do.
It is, because it's like, why are we in competition?
Like, yeah. I don't
want to be friends with anybody I'm in competition with.
No.
Just make that clear. And you can see it when the older you get, the more you are in tune with your intuition, you listen to yourself and you can feel it. So any of that, I can't do any of that.
I will say that having been heavier and then lost weight, I will say that it is fair if someone is a trigger for you, then you have to. And I feel like I've been that for some people. I think I would have been my own trigger at a different point in my life. But you have to then create the space to then sort your own stuff out.
Exactly.
So you need to like be a big enough person to see that and be like, okay, I do love that friend, but right now it's triggering me because I don't have these things set, whether it's money, marriage, body, whatever. And I'm going to take a step back and I'm going to work on me, and then I'm gonna fold back into the friendship and be and show up as a good friend.
Exactly.
Right? But that there are people that they cannot root other people on, and it's constantly a compare game.
You know why? Because most people lack in emotional intelligence.
So oh yeah.
They don't even know it's a trigger.
Oh
they
yeah.
They have no idea that they triggered.
Oh, 100%.
They have no clue that that's what's happening.
Yeah, like, okay, this is a great example. My TikTok, I told you this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I had taken a break as well from like putting the effort in, and it just wasn't something that I could dedicate the time to and the energy. And then this last week I started posting again, started going viral, and the comments are vicious. Yeah. Vicious, and it's all women with babies in their pictures or Bible verse in their profile or whatever. And it's all women that are tearing me down, calling me out for my lip because they want to say that it's fillers and they think that it's work done. And I'm honest about everything, by the way.
You are. I'm very honest.
But I have a cleft lip. I am filling my lip because I have a cleft lip, but I also shouldn't have to tell you that. So I was in this one video barking back at people and letting them know, like, you're actually coming for my birth defect.
Right.
But I can't fight the whole internet and I need to just let that ride. And once I get on a heater with a lot of videos, it just like washes away from me. Mm-hmm. But the haters love to hate more than people show up and make nice comments.
I believe that if you were heavier.
Oh, totally.
Your hair wasn't the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You didn't look the way you look. It would be more sympathy given.
Right.
Because you're bad. You're fine. It's a problem.
Yeah, I like being able to say yes, because I'm not going to make apologies for that. I used to be also when my body was changing, when I was putting more work or dollars into my aesthetics and things like that, I would almost apologize for that. And I'm not going to do that. I made it a priority. I have put in the work, yes, put in the time. And I'm proud of myself. I am proud of myself that I'm going to be turning 37 next month.
Hey.
And I feel great about, I look better than I did 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So that feels really amazing. And I just think that we were able to foster a relationship through the internet without even being face to face because we were rooting each other on. And that energy, it's so powerful. It's so powerful.
It's so good. But let me tell you guys why I was so attracted to Stephanie. First of all, I think I don't even know how I came across your page.
I know. Right? I've also tried to figure that out.
I actually have a thing for blondes. I love blondes.
Yes.
So I was like, she is beautiful.
I love the way you dress. Obviously, the aesthetic was probably the first thing that I saw. I was like, oh, she works out. She's classy. She's a lady. I love super feminine women. But every time I believe your comment, you were so sweet and so nice. And I was like, you know what? This is someone I can rock with.
Yeah.
I'm like, I need to come to New York and visit you. Like, I'm coming to Baltimore. And
yeah.
This and that. So that's how it started. But then once I talked to you, I was like, she's so sweet. She has such a genuine spirit about her. That's my kind of person. That's somebody I'm going to grab up and be a part of my tribe. Just like you guys, even guy that you like.
Yeah.
And you like, oh, he drives a nice car. He's sexy. He's cute. He makes his money. That's the same thing you should do when you meet a quality woman.
100%.
Support you and be a part of your world. And that's what you want
for me. Yeah. I mean, you're the same for me. But you, first of all, I always walk away beaming after any time with you. So like that's a friendship that's not a drain. It's like energy, which it feels so good that it just like glows afterwards. But also like you inspire me to do more, or to like, okay, how can I pivot this? How can I hustle more? How can I do this? Like when you surround yourself by friends that have your best interest, and they will push you towards what's best for you, and they will get you to your goals. They will think about it. Rachel will call me sometimes. You know, I was thinking about this for you. And like, that is a solid friend. Men do that for men without even knowing them. They can be from the same fraternity. They can graduate from the same college. And they show up in a bigger way than any, like, they'll automatically get a job somewhere.
That's true.
And women, we have to do better at that. We have to look out for each other.
And that's why we have femininity. That's why we have this community, to help women, one, cultivate relationships,
yeah,
have better relationships, network with each other, build together, start brands, businesses, all of these things. This is what we need to be smarter, wiser, learn, do better in our lives, so that we can really attract the life and get the life that
100%. You cannot do it all yourself.
Do it by yourself.
And as women, like having to raise kids, watch after a household, you physically cannot do it all. No. So the people that you think are doing it all, they're not. They're not, first of all. And they're tapping into those resources and those relationships that they've built so that they can make it look like they're doing it.